fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
So this is Part-Time Fanboy. My name is Christian Horn. I'm here with Paul Edwards, and I guess this week we would like to chat about web comics or stuff on the web that we like.
Absolutely.
Yes, and Ian was going to join us, but he had problems with Skype. I had problems with Google. We had problems with everything.
We all had problems.
Big effing mess, and I'm so fed up with technology right now. I'm not in a good mood. So let's start talking about webcomics. The whole reason that this got started was because we, very much like the Stephen E. Gordon interview that we posted last week, we recorded a whole episode that sort of ended up being about webcomics, and the sound file got damaged or messed up, and so I wanted to talk about it again, and here we are. So this is our second go-round of webcomics, and so why don't you start with the recommendations, Paul, because right now I'm still riding high on my frustration with it, the interwebs in general. So
yeah, the interwebs are fantastically cool because they bring us, you know, all these nifty comics, but then they're fantastically frustrating because not everything always works.
Yes.
So yeah, one of the first webcomics that I remember bringing up to you guys was a webcomic called JL8.
Yes.
This one got my attention a while back, and it used to be called Little League.
Uh-huh.
And it's a fantastically funny little comic about the Justice League if they were in second grade. They're a bunch of kids, and they all go to the same school, and it's just really cute. It's a great kids cartoon, but it's also really cool for grown-ups who, you know, have grown up with these superheroes. And, you know, the kids are, the idea of seeing these full-on superheroes as kids is just really, really funny. The guy who writes and draws it, his name is Yale Stewart, and he just does a great job with every character. They're funny. He keeps, you know, he's got, you know, Barry Allen as like a totally hyperactive kid Flash.
Yeah.
And you know, you've got little brooding Batman, and you know, who's just really funny. And the way these kids, you know, totally act like kids but still are themselves, it's just really special. It's a sweet comic. It's got a lot of heart, and it looks phenomenal.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, I hadn't heard of this, and again, it was something that it was one of those things where I was like, oh wow, when you introduced it to me, I immediately showed it to my daughter, and she really liked it. She thought it was really funny and really cute. I showed her the first 20 strips, and you know, she was asking about the characters, like especially Power Girl and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But she thought it was really funny. She thought, you know, Batman was funny, and that they were acting really weird to her, obviously, you know, because she's only seen the Super Friends. But this is definitely an all ages thing that you know, and it's jl8comic.tumblr.com. And it's basically an all ages, almost like, sort of like, what if the Super Friends were like Peanuts or Calvin and mm-hmm. Hobbes or mm-hmm. something like that. And it's really funny and really lighthearted and just like got its heart in the right place. And I don't understand why DC doesn't have this out, like, you know, if anything, in just newspapers, you know,
yes,
across the country as like a Sunday strip or something like that, you know, it would just yes. be fantastic, you know.
It is. He really it's just so enjoyable. I mean, the current, I guess, you know, they don't really have arcs, but they do have some continuing stories. And the current one that's going on is Wonder Woman's birthday party.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just so hilarious, you know. Little Green Lantern gives her, you know, a model plane, you know, which she just loves, you know. Yeah. And that just makes sense on so many levels. You know, it's just, it's so cute. I really, really love that comic.
Yeah, yeah. And the payoff to that particular strip is what? Like, Batman basically gives her a card with money in it, and she's just like, oh, great, thanks.
Yes.
Thanks for being so thoughtful.
Yes. The little Batman character is just really, really funny, you know.
Yeah.
Because he's got sort of that, you know, that aggression that, you know, Batman has, but mm-hmm. to see it in a kid, it's just hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, it's hysterical. And the way he draws him and everything like that. And all the characters, I just love the way that he draws Superman, you know, with the spit curl in his hair and the big eyes, and he's got the cape, but he's sort of got like a bow where it's like tied in front of his, you know, chest. And it's adorable stuff. And I'm looking at a strip right now that looks to be Batman and Superman at a bookstore, and they run into Neil Gaiman. And it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny stuff. So yeah, I mean, this is definitely highly recommended. And I guess both our opinions, because I just really think that this is a fantastic book. And I don't know why DC isn't, maybe they're just like, oh, we don't want to encourage fan work or something like that. You know, I can't understand why, you know, they wouldn't be all over this. And on Facebook, he's got like thousands of likes or something like that. So people are aware of it. And I can't imagine that DC isn't aware of it. But this is the perfect thing to get kids into superheroes, you know.
Absolutely.
And
did you have something that you wanted to recommend?
Yeah, no, I finally found this thing that actually Ian recommended, Ian Scheller, Comic Book Plus, and it's comicbookplus.com. And basically, well, you describe it more, because you guys pointed it out to me. It looks,
well,
it's royalty or public domain comic books, right?
Right, right. It's a sort of a library of CBR files of these old comics, and you know, they're just you've got all these different genres, and you know, all these different publishers, most of whom are out of business now. And what's really impressive is just you see the huge variety that comics used to have.
Yeah.
You know, before it was all superheroes, you know. I mean, there's some variety now, but I mean, when the industry started, they were telling all kinds of stories. There were horror stories, there were crime stories, there were westerns, there were, you know, just it's sort of, you know, what Japan's market has turned into. That's the way our market used to be. And
yeah.
Going through this, if you go through this site, it's really just a tour of the history of comics.
Yeah, yeah, it's unbelievable. I'm looking at it right now, comicbookplus.com, and I think what I said in the original one is like you could quite literally just spend all your comic reading time in these pages. I mean, I know that there's some people that do not like Golden Age sort of stuff. They're not crazy
mm-hmm.
about the storytelling, or you know, how kind of maybe slow it is or certain things, but there's, I mean, you can find something on here. I mean, I'm just scrolling through the pages and I'm just like, wow.
Even if you're not interested in that, you know, they've got all these pulp novels and, you know, pulp magazines, story papers, like just the, you know, that are sort of long form stories that were published in, you know, magazine or digest format.
Yeah.
And you know, you've got all these fantastic, you know, just written stories. You've got volumes of Amazing Stories. You've got you know, Boys Magazine, Brave and Bold Weekly, you know.
Yeah.
And so there's all sorts of just, you know, literature out there that you could get into even if you're not interested in the comics.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine not finding something on here that you would be interesting. And the amazing thing is, I mean, this is like free. Just you can download them for free. It's not, you know, and it's, again, it's stuff that's all in the public domain, and some of it is probably really weird for like people who are used to modern day comic books. But if you are just, you know, interested in checking out something different, or like, I just found this title, I'm looking at it, Hyper Mystery Comics. What the fuck is that?
Fantastic title. I love that.
It's like, I know.
Like Grant Morrison wrote a, a little title there. But, you know, there's really cool old, you know, even vintage horror magazines there, like that Charlton put out. You know, there's just so much cool stuff on this site, and it's all legal. You know, this is all stuff that, you know, it's just either the publisher's out of business or it's all in the public domain, and this is stuff that you never would have had a chance to see before the internet.
Yeah.
And the internet really brings this right to your door. So thank you, internet.
Thank even you for you, that.
Even though you frustrate us with your calling abilities.
Yeah. Or inabilities.
Thank you for bringing us free public domain comics.
I mean, look, I just found something that, well, I don't know, looking at the first cover, but something that my brother-in-law or a baseball fan might like. It's called Babe Ruth Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Babe Ruth Sports, come on. I mean, yeah.
And you've got a huge variety of you know, ability from the publisher. You know, some of the art's pretty bad, but you know, and a lot of it you do get to see some of the top artists, you know, back in their early days. You know, got some really, really cool stuff in here. I think that the last time that we were looking through, there were you know, old Charlton comics and things like that. So we had
there's a Terry and the Pirates I saw, which
Fawcett comics, which, you know, that's where you know, Shazam, Captain Marvel came out of those.
Yeah. I mean, there's just like tons of really crazy fun stuff, and even kids stuff is on here. I see like funny animal stuff. Like, I think I saw an atomic rabbit.
Awesome.
Here's one called Atomic War, which I remember last time that I was just like, I'm in love with that.
Here's a publisher, Holyoke Publishing, and Charles Quinlan, Dan Barry, Joe Kubert, Carmine Infanto, all work. So, you know, you've got some really cool old stuff here. Even if it sort of doesn't, you know, float your boat, you can move on to something that does, you know?
Yeah, you're going to find something, I think. And if anything, like, this is great stuff that you could put on your tablet, you know what I mean? And have a CBR, CBZ reader, and read on a plane, you know, like if you're bored, or in an airport, or, you know, wherever you're going to read comics, you know?
Or for goodness sakes, you know, just, you know, make yourself some lovely background images, you know, for your desktop out of these things. They're beautiful.
Well, the covers are, that's the thing that always impresses me about like the gold and silver age, is that the covers are so like, bam, in your face. They're so like, yeah, this is comics. Yeah.
I mean, and they also, you know, they all follow a very, I mean, you're just looking through it, they all follow a very sort of prescribed, you know, cover. You know, you've got your title, which takes up the top third of the comic.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got the bottom two thirds filled with some sort of art, you know, some sort of big art against a primary color background or black background, you know, and it works. It looks so good.
Yeah. It looks fantastic. And some of it may look hokey to people who are used to just modern, slick, but the other thing that's impressive about things is all done by hand. None of these are photoshopped, or, you know, they're not using a Cintiq. They're, you know, this is old school the way it used to be done. And you could learn things about illustration from a lot of these books. I mean, obviously, a lot of these books were like rush jobs and stuff like that, or just being run through the mill of the comics factory.
Oh, absolutely.
To just get stuff out.
There's a great quote by one of the publishers, and they were, you know, when he was testifying in front of the Congress for the, you know, thing, and he's just like, oh, I don't know what they're about. I don't read half the stuff that we publish.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a cover here for something called Gangsters and Gun Malls.
Nice.
Come on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can't beat it. You can't beat it. And again, like I said, I'm already looking at some stuff. Obviously, I would have to go through it to make sure that the sensibility is correct for my daughter, but, you know, that I would download and be able to hand my tablet over to her and she could check it out and read it. Because there's a lot of fun stuff on here. It looks like there was a comic called Brain! ! You know? Yeah.
Awesome.
It's great. Great stuff. So what's another webcomic that you are into on your end?
The other one that I remember coming up across was one called Strong Female Protagonist.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's at strongfemaleprotagonist.com.
Uh-huh.
And you can take a look at that. It's a really cool little story about a superhero who just, you know, decides to, you know, retire from being a superhero and be a regular person. And, you know, it's really cool because it's, it's like the sort of ironic title there, you know, of Strong Female Protagonist really does become a very strong female protagonist, and you start to, it deals with the questions of, you know, what does it mean to be strong, and, you know, what does it mean to be a good person here in our modern society. It's a really, really strong story by Brennan Lee Mulligan and Molly Ostertag.
Yeah. I remember looking at it, and I'm looking at it right now. It's in black and white, but it's really nicely done, you know. I haven't really read through the story, but I like the art right now. It looks very mm-hmm. cool. It almost looks like sort of like a slice of life comic, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, what we were saying is really nice about web comics now is the ability for someone to put, you know, a full book on there, you know, or several books on there, and for you to be able to follow a story in one, whether you want to do it all in one big chunk or whether you want to just do it a little bit at a time. I feel like the best web comics are the ones where there's sort of a lot of content out there already.
Yeah.
You know, people who have been doing it for a while and they've got a really strong, publishing, ethos, I guess, you know, or they have like a set schedule that they put these things out on, and a strong female protagonist is one of those.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is looks like a really good, solid read, and I'm definitely going to have to check that out, you know, for sure. Because I like the art a lot. It's simple, it's direct, it doesn't get in its own way, and that's mm-hmm. what a lot of webcomics should be, because, I mean, there's just so much stuff out there, and it's very direct. I also like the site design. It's very simple and straightforward, and it's not just sort of like your typical WordPress, you know, layout, or, you know, I mean...
Right.
It doesn't look like they just slapped up a... at least to me, it doesn't look like they just slapped up a template and,
right,
you know, went ahead with it, you know, which does tend to be the case sometimes with... newer web comics I can't fault artists for that,
right,
because they're not web designer, you know. You don't necessarily have to be a web designer to make a compelling comic, you know.
Another web comic, you know, slash originally published comic was the one we talked about, which is called Trekker, and that's a great looking site.
Is that Trekker.com? Trekker?
It's TrekkerComic.com. TrekkerComic. TrekkerComic.com. And that's by Ron Randall.
Yeah.
And it's a book that was originally published by Dark Horse, but it was done in, you know, sort of smaller stories and some of them were in the back of other comics, you know, some of them were by themselves, and it's a story about a 23rd century bounty hunter. Mm-hmm. And what he's done is he's gone back and he's telling his story from the very beginning, and he updates every Monday. And the ideally, I believe he's going to, once he's finished with all of the things that have been published, that he's going to produce new work on this story.
Yeah, actually, the news just broke over the weekend, I think at Emerald City Con, that Dark Horse is going to start publishing. They're going to do the old stuff in an omnibus.
Oh, cool.
Edition, and then they're going to start publishing new books of Trekker.
Yeah.
So it looks like, I don't know what that means for the website or what's going to happen to it, but mm-hmm. I mean, if you're out there and you do want to read a very good professional comic with a like solid female protagonist that, you know, has action and adventure and is like set in the future, Trekker is definitely it. TrekkerComic.com. I mean, this is very professionally done artwork. Mm-hmm. It does not look like somebody who's just messing around, you know, on the internet. It looks like somebody who knows exactly what they're doing. And it's also really good to see a female protagonist who is attractive, but not necessarily, you know, Balloon Woman, as we see a lot of, like, female protagonists, you know, drawn in comic books. I mean, she's an action hero. She's serious. She's attractive, you know, but she's not, you know, there's no real...
She's realistically proportioned, and it's a very realistic book. I mean, you know, even though they've, you know, you've got flying spaceships and everything, you know, it's still a pretty grounded series. And really, really well written.
Yeah. I mean, I've still haven't had a chance to read through it. I definitely checked out because they did something on thrillbent.com with this character. And I didn't realize that this was an existing character until you pointed it out to me. And I remember really liking that little bit where it was the character from Trekker, and I don't know if it was a new character, and they were like fighting zombies, something like that. And I think it's even here on the page. It's called the City of the Dead. Carl's Kessel. So it's a team up between Ron Randall's Trekker and Carl Kessel's Johnny Zombie, which I'd never heard of. That may be something I have to check out, but that was a really good little strip on thrillbent.com. And I mean, speaking of webcomics, Thrillbent, right? I mean, anyone,
absolutely,
you know, who doesn't know, that's like Mark Waid's, you know, little corner of the universe where he decided he was going to start doing his own comics. They're actually really, really well done. I mean, you know, Mark Waid is a really professional writer, and he is one of my favorites, as I know he's like one of yours. So just to see him putting out really solid stuff, you know, it just makes me really happy. And
yeah, I'm looking over here on the Trekker comic site, and Thrillbent is one of the books linked to on there, along with Mad Genius Comics, Quantum Vibe, another called Transpose Operator. So, you know, this, if you start in one of these good books or good websites, you know, there are links to others, and that's the really nice thing about this. I also have to sort of shout out to io9.com, because they're doing a really good job of showcasing a lot of these comics, and that's where I usually find out about
them
initially.
Mm-hmm. io9.
Yeah, io9's a fantastic website for just general geek related. You know, they've got comics, they've got movies, they've got science. Really, really cool site.
Yeah, I think you've told me about this site before, and I haven't had a chance to check that out. But I know that I've been reading Insufferable, or had been reading Insufferable for a while, and it's just like a really great sort of take on the whole Batman and Robin, sort of like Robin's grown up and kind of become like a brat superhero crime fighting, obsessed with more, like more obsessed with his celebrity.
So it's like Robin would be if they ever allowed Robin a chance to grow up and not be killed by some random supervillain.
Yeah. Well, there's been lots of Robins, right? I mean, we still got Nightwing, so
we still got the original. So
yeah,
I guess we're
still
okay.
Got Nightwing around. Although I heard that Dan DiDio wanted to kill him off when they did the DC 52 reboot or something.
Of course
he did. But this is like, what if Nightwing had grown up to be a celebrity hound, or wanted to, his sole purpose was to just make money off of his name, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To fight crime, but to reap the reward of it. And his Batman in the series is they're actually father and son in this book, and there's a lot of resentment between them, and so it's very interesting because the Batman character is far better at everything that the sort of quote Robin character is. So he's always outthinking him, always outsmarting him, always getting to the scene ahead of him, and you know, the Robin's resentment just grows and grows and grows and grows. I feel really badly because I can't really think of the characters' names in Insufferable, so I keep using Batman and Robin, which I'm sure if Mark Waid ever heard this, he'd be like, oh my God, stop calling them Batman and Robin. But
yeah,
that's
Waid's sort of genius, is that he gets these characters that, you know, obviously refer to existent characters.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, then manages to, you know, make them something different while still commenting on the original, you know? That's something that he's particularly good at. So I don't know whether he'd be quite as pissed at you as you think.
Yeah, well, either way, I'm a huge Mark Waid fan, and I just think that his stuff is fantastic, and Insufferable is no exception. I mean, it's just a great, great book. And he's launched other things on here, too. It looks like they've got a Walking Dead parody called The Walking Pandas, which I read and is very cute. Here's another webcomic. I don't know if this is ongoing. Recipe for Disaster, when the Department of Transportation cracks down on truckers cooking their books. Burt Jackson finds a new recipe for extra dough, mapping his roots through every eating contest in the U.S. So,
that's cool.
I mean,
that's just cool.
A great idea. These are the sort of things that you're going to find on the web, you know. While, you know, most of the big comic companies are obsessed with giving us the sort of the same recycled thing over and over again, the web is a really great chance at, you know, finding stuff that isn't going to fit into a box, you know what I'm saying, that people will find interesting, but that maybe a larger, you know, corporate company might not want to take a chance with, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I know Mark Waid seems to be a big fan of sort of pushing the envelope as far as the interactive comic is concerned, not necessarily the limited animation, but just doing different things with panel progression on the screen, you know, which is always interesting. So yeah, I really like Thrillbent, and I got to stop neglecting Insufferable because I think his stuff is fantastic. The other thing that we mentioned that I still really love and is one of my favorite things, it ended a while ago. It's actually quite old, but it's still on the web. And if you're a Doctor Who fan, you will love this, is the web comic called The Ten Doctors.
Oh,
and
yeah. Good story.
It is you got to look up Rich's comic blog, The Ten Doctors, and it looks like he's coming up with another one called The 23 Doctors.
Oh, wow.
Which is, I don't know what the 23 Doctors are, because there haven't been 23. Yeah, and then there's a little cartoon of the current Doctor, and he says, I think I need to double check my math. Oh, that's great. So he's doing another one, but the one that he has had up since he started, I believe, in 2007, is The Ten Doctors, and it's basically, if you're a Doctor Who fan, you will love this. It's basically a strip where an adventure where all of the Doctors up to the David Tennant iteration kind of meet and have an adventure with each other. And it's a very sort of bare bones looking comic strip, but the guy makes up for it with his cartooning ability, because he gets the sort of basic structure of everybody's face. He's able to encapsulate their characters really well. I mean, just to start off, it's Tennant and Eccleston meeting, and it's hysterical. The looks that they exchange, and you know, this guy is a very, very good cartoonist. You know?
It's a fun little story, and he does just nail each and every one of them. Their personality comes through, their look comes through. Yeah, I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I think it's really fantastic, and like I said, if you're a Doctor Who fan, or even if you're a fan of cartooning, or if you're thinking about doing your own webcomic, this is a very inspirational sort of like mini-series that he puts together, or like a graphic novel on the web, because you can still see like his little circle underneath guidelines, you know, drawing the character. He doesn't even necessarily bother to erase you know, his sketch lines or anything. It's very, very basic, but it's very, very successful with what it does. Mm-hmm. And what it does is, you know, give us a really neat little Doctor Who adventure that probably every fan wishes they could see, you know, and we'll probably never see, because some of the Doctors have passed away, although I don't know, this 50th anniversary special, they're saying they're going to do stuff with CGI and stuff like that, and maybe have certain Doctors meet with each other, which would be just fantastic. But yes, as a Doctor Who nerd, and now knowing that he's going to do another one with Matt Smith's Doctor, looks like it starts November 23rd, 2013. Oh, so it looks like it's still a ways off, but maybe he's building up his strip so that he can release it all at once.
Maybe so that he can, yeah, absolutely start, you know, publish it with a regular, you know, some sort of a regular, either he's going to do it all at once or have a regular publishing schedule. That's nice.
Yeah, and the other great thing, too, is that he's put up CBZ files and PDF files so that you can download it. Now that it's over, you can just download the whole thing and just read them. And he gives you two versions on his site, one with the notes, all his notes and stuff, and then one so that you could just read the comic, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that you can just read the comic. And it's just really good stuff. And just do a search for the 10 Doctors, and it's one of the first things that comes up. And, you know, it's the site is actually called Rich's Comics Blog, comics with an X. And, you know, he is a cartoonist, and he works in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and he works on children's television shows and stuff like that. And he's really talented, you know. Although a lot of people might poo-poo, you know, the 10 Doctors because it's not fully rendered, I think that would be really short-sighted of people. So I don't know. But any other web comics that you want to mention right now? I know we had a bunch last time.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other one, you know, we went into a little adults only section.
Oh, yeah.
And the one, the possibly one of my favorite web comics of all, it's called Ogloff. O-G-L-A-F. It's ogloff.com.
Uh-huh.
And God, is this thing dirty, but it's hilarious.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Because
yeah.
it sort of takes all existing fantasy characters and tropes, and it just like goes to town on all of them. And it sort of mixes it up too between things that are, you know, just absolutely filthy and sexual, and then there are some things that are just really funny. If you read it, there are some sort of running storylines that go through them, and it sort of cuts back and forth between them. There's one about a team of guys who are making their way through a dungeon.
Yeah,
it's great. It's like a D&D style thing. They cross into this room and they get to this wall that says overthinking. And so they start arguing, okay, well, it's obviously a trap, but what does that mean? You know, does overthinking trigger the trap, or is overthinking the trap itself? You know, why are they going to do it? Well, what if there is no trap? What if it's just the concept of a trap, you know? And it's just...
Like, yeah, like, it's sort of a very witty, sort of filthy D&D world.
Absolutely.
Like Dungeons & Dragons. And,
absolutely.
If you've ever been a fan of any of that stuff, like Conan or Dungeons & Dragons or Lord of the Rings, this is a really solid, fun read, although not for the kids, for sure.
Yeah, no, not at all. It's like I said, it's filthy, but it's just hilarious. The point of view is... It will do anything to make you laugh, and you know that's what I love about it.
This to me seems like something that should be on Adult Swim. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I guess Adult Swim were able to go as far as this comic strip goes, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I really like the art. I really like the coloring, and you can't beat funny. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You just can't be funny, and it's funny, you know. I know that it would probably be offensive to some people, but you know, to somebody with a sense of humor and, you know, a laid back mentality, I think you'd be fine with it, you know.
Yeah, just,
it's for grown-ups only.
It is for grown-ups only. There's another one that I'm thinking of. It's, you know, the scene in Flash Gordon where they're sticking their hands into the tree stump, and there's the bog beast inside of it, and like the whole thing is based on, you know, whether this guy's going to stick his dick inside this hole to be killed by a horrible bog beast. It's pretty funny. The guy who does this just really does a fantastic job of finding like sort of sci-fi and fantasy ideas that are just completely ridiculous, and then takes them to a place that's even more ridiculous.
Yeah. I think it's a really funny comic, and I would recommend it for nerds and non-nerds alike. It's just really great. Yeah. Another sort of filthy grown-up, well, not necessarily filthy, but adult-oriented strip, which I actually really love, and it's funny because this isn't the only strip that this woman does or illustrates. It's called Menage a Three, and this is the one that is the most grown up, and it's basically sort of her art style is very much based off of I believe it's Dan DiCarlo's style,
Archie stuff. Yeah,
the Archie stuff. So if you were ever hot for Betty or Veronica, and well, these characters are not Betty and Veronica, but they're illustrated very much, you know, in that style, this is the comic for you, because there's nudity, there's sex, there's antics. It's basically sort of like Three's Company, but like if Three's Company had no, you know, had no limits, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. And it's and sort of if Jack Tripper had been sort of like an awkward virgin, and you know, had a really two really super hot roommates that he just didn't know what to do with, you know, all the time. So mm-hmm. I think that this updates all the time. It's very professional, very professionally done. There is sex. There is sexual situations, but that's the thing, is if Menage a Three is too much for you, she's got like three other strips. She just started one called Sticky Dilly Buns, which I don't know what that's about. I haven't had a chance to check it out. But she's got another one called Magical Girls or Magic Chicks or something like Eerie Cuties. Mm-hmm. Eerie Cuties, which seems to be not necessarily all ages, but for teenagers that sort of like this sort of like manga romance thing. And let me see, Eerie Cuties. Yeah, Magic Chicks. I was right, Magic Chicks. And mm-hmm. So there are definitely a lot of choices that she puts out there, and she keeps herself busy. The artist name is Giselle. I'm going to massacre the last name. Giselle Lagace. I believe she's Canadian, And she's just got that style down. And for anyone who thinks that that Archie sort of style is very simplistic, it's not. It's very complicated, and it's hard to master, and it's hard to do professionally. And I'm just continually impressed by what she's able to do.
It's cool because she sort of mixes that style with a manga style.
Yeah, and, you're right. I was just going to say that too.
It's something that's unique, and it's what's really great about it too is that it's awesome characters. Characters really come through. It's not just a series of, you know, dirty jokes or whatever. It's almost like a you know going back to the Three's Company thing. You know how the actors, you know, in that were so good at what they did that, you know, that they were able to take, you know, a sort of, you know, somewhat forgettable situation or sitcom and turn it into something, you know, a little extra. And I think that's what she does with this, you know, with this here. She takes these makes these characters so good that it really elevates it beyond just a little sex comedy into like sort of a slice of life almost.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right about that. And the thing that, you know, to call it, to just label it sort of like a sex comedy kind of does a disservice to it, because that sort of makes it seem like it's, sort of salacious without, you know, anything behind it. I mean, the female characters are, you know, for lack of a better term, well-rounded and very well, like, developed. You know, they feel like sort of, I can't say real characters, but they're not two-dimensional. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They sort of have the same sort of concerns. Like, I think female readers would be interested in this sort of thing, you know, in all her books. And they all have sort of a female slant. And I could see a guy maybe checking some of these out and being like, Christian, why are you into this at all? And I'm like, I'm into it because it's solid and professionally done, and the art is great to look at. I mean, I'm just always impressed by the art, and more often than not, she makes me laugh, you know, or at the very least smile with what she does, you know. And it's sort of the direction that you kind of always maybe wished in your juvenile mind when you were a kid that the Archie books would go in. And, you know, it's just basically sort of also like a teenage wish fulfillment fantasy, you know, which is just like, oh, wow, you know, I wish that they would just fucking have sex already. You know what I mean? Like Archie would just pick one of them and just get it done with, you know? So, it's a fun book, and I mean, it's a fun read, and she actually has print versions of all her books like available through her stores as well. So I can't recommend this one enough. I really, really enjoy this one too. And I guess since we're on the adult oriented kick, I might as well mention the this isn't a web comic, but it is something that's on the internet that probably a lot of people know about, but I kind of came late to, which is Superfuckers. And if you go to YouTube and you type in Superfuckers, it is a hysterical animated cartoon that they are making direct to YouTube. And I think the last time I checked, there were only 5 episodes up, but it's basically superheroes with no morals. And Corey recommended the actual comic, like, book to me, and I picked up, I think it's James Kochalka, Superfuckers, and it's, the comic book is hysterical, the cartoon is hysterical, and it's just not something that you want to be caught reading around the house with your little kid who can read, so I have to hide mine, or watching on the monitor at work, or, you know, at home if you're, you know, folks or whatever around. But I think it's really funny. I mean, it's not really complex or, you know, highbrow, highfalutin humor, but you know, there's something to be said for the lowbrow stuff too, and I just love it. You know, it's just fantastic.
Cool.
And I don't know, what other web comics have we got that you can think of?
Man, there's so many.
I've got so many bookmarked. I'm trying to... Red Ink Radio. You talked about that, right?
Did I? I don't remember talking about that.
Yeah, it was this woman, Red Ink Radio, at blogspot.com, and Darwin Carmichael is Going to Hell is one of her comics.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, and what is her name about? Here we go. Sophie Goldstein.
That's right.
Yeah, Sophie Goldstein, Red Ink Radio. Looks like she's got a bunch of different comics here, but Mothership Blues, Betsy, Idol, Potato Baby, Ice Baron, Fox, Grow.
Yeah, I actually came around to her through Mothership Blues.
Gotcha. Yeah. And what's Mothership Blues about?
Yeah, Mothership Blues is the one about a alien spacecraft. It's a crew of a spacecraft. They're on this long journey. The difference is that their spacecraft is a sort of living, sentient being. And, yeah. You know, as they're going along, it's becoming apparent that, you know, that their craft is dying. And so, you know, as these aliens of different species, you know, sort of approach this, you know, impending, you know, traumatic event, you know, in different ways. She's got some really, really interesting character design.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fantastic alien design, I think.
Yeah. It's really pretty. I'm looking at it right now, and it looks like something that you would see from Fantagraphics or Top Shelf.
Right.
Yeah, and it's not overly complex, but it's not overly simple either. It's very straightforward. You can see that there's a lot of emotion in her characters, mm-hmm. and a really, really trippy design in there that I like a lot. It looks like it's a really good read. I'm just scrolling through it very quickly right now because she's got the whole thing on her site, redinkradio.blogspot.com.
She's got a Tumblr page too. That's redinkradio.tumblr.com.
Oh, really?
And that's sort of, it's like her workbook kind of thing.
Oh yeah, there's the Tumblr. I see it. Yeah, I mean, it's really she's got some really beautiful stuff. I mean, you can't deny it. And it's a style that is sort of familiar to like indie comics, but definitely is her own. So yeah, I would recommend this highly for anyone who wants to read something different. I remember I found one. How did I not bookmark that? Webcomic Zombie. What was that book that I really... that I really liked? The Zombie Hunters. There you go. TheZombieHunters.com. So this looks like... I haven't had a chance to read all the way through it, but very solid undead zombie... You know, if you're a fan of The Walking Dead or a fan of George Romero's books, this looks like a very solid read. I've read through a little bit of it, and then I got distracted.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that the illustration style is really
gorgeous.
Pretty.
Gorgeous coloring.
Yeah, really great coloring. And what's great about this and other webcomics is that you can see sort of like where they started from. You know, the art style is slightly different, actually a little bit different. And then, you know, once you get to the more current comic strips, you know, it's much more refined and professional. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting to see some artists grow, you know.
Yeah. Oh, especially with this one, it's looking at their current thing, you know, he's 452 pages into this.
Wow. That's amazing. No wonder I kind of didn't finish up with it. But yeah, this is like really solid looking story, and
I'm sorry, she.
Oh, she, yes, Jenny.
Jenny Romanchuk.
I just found that. Yeah, what was the name? The full name?
Jenny Romanchuk.
Wow. Yeah. Well.
And who? She's a Canadian who currently lives in North Carolina, and it's got a great FAQ section. Amazing that updates every Monday. And pretty much has been updating every Thursday for the last 2 years.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, it's a really solid looking book. And yes, we apologize for assuming that you were male. You were probably screaming at if you heard our podcast, you were probably screaming at the into your headset like, no, I am not male. I am female. But, oh, that's great. That's even better, man, because to see something like this that you wouldn't expect from a female, you know, being the egocentric pig that I am, you know, that's really great. This is great stuff. It reminds me of, there's another zombie book that's a comic. It was a one-shot. It was released from Tokyo Pop, but I can't remember what it is. I'm going to have to try and remember this comic, but it reminds me of something else that was done like several years ago. I believe it's Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Tokyo Pop, like it only came out one book about zombies, and it reminds me a little bit of that. It's the guy who's drawing Glory right now. Ross Campbell.
Ross okay. Campbell?
Yeah, Ross Campbell. He did a zombie comic a while ago for Tokyo Pop, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of this, except his characters seem to be a little bit more white trashy, or trashy in general, southern trash, I'm not sure, but they were still really, really well-developed and solid, and from what I understand, Tokyo Pop tried to rip him off or something for that book. I could be misinformed, but yeah, no, The Zombie Hunters, definitely check that one out. I've been kind of distracted talking about it because I'm flipping through all the beautiful pages of her art. So
yeah, it's a fantastic looking book, and it seems like it's really well written too. Very, very dense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of material here, and it's looks like this is somebody who's committed, which, you know, that's really great for a webcomic, to be able to get your story out, you know, as much as possible, and having, you know, to stick with it for a while. So that's great. It takes a big level of commitment. But yeah, no, Zombie Hunters, definitely check that out. And this is a subject that we should definitely keep looking at and revisiting. And we should also say that, you know, if you are a webcomic artist and, you know, you want us to look at your comic or review it or check it out, you know, definitely email us at ptf@parttimefanboy.com or paul@parttimefanboy.com, because we love looking at this stuff.
Absolutely. And
I know that Corey's doing an initiative on his site, thecomicsobserver.com. I believe it's just comicsobserver.com, where he's interested in looking at webcomics and reviewing them and, you know, hyping them as well. So definitely check out, you know, Corey Blake's website as well. So, yeah, I mean, we should definitely revisit this as we find more webcomics, because they're out there, and, you know, they're just becoming more and more numerous, you know, as the web expands and as the technology gets easier and easier to implement, you know. So this is great. So cool. Any last thoughts on webcomics, Paul?
Or no, the web? I love them, and you know, the more the better. You know, it's really cool, because now we're seeing, you know, not just, you know, webcomics when, you know, sort of had a little bad ring about them, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's just a web comic. Yet, you know, you're starting to see web comics really, you know, come into their own now. And I feel like, you know, going back to that site that Corey was taking, you know, or that Ian had showed us, the, you know, the, with all the Golden Age and Silver Age comics, it's like, this is sort of the new version of that. And I'm looking forward to reading a bunch more.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, 10 years down the line, how everything's going to be developed, because as of right now, it just seems like everyone's pushing that print is dying or print is dead, you know, and how everyone's going to be reading comics in 10 years. I mean, I have a tablet, and I read some stuff on, you know, CBZ and stuff like that, and you know, through Comixology I have, but not really that crazy into it. But it's just going to be interesting to see, because I still, maybe because I'm older, I just still am attached to print. I mean, I still like having the book in my hand, you know, even though I have a tablet. Oh, the last thing, I almost forgot to mention. Have you ever heard of Manga Fox?
No. What is that?
Well, you know, like how Comic Book Plus is kind of like the legal version. Well, Manga Fox is one of these, and I don't know that I should be recommending it on our podcast. I don't know that these are things that haven't been released in the U.S., but I don't know if this is a chicken or egg thing where it's like, it's basically a scanslation site where can read Japanese comics, you know, that fans have scanned and then, you know, translated themselves. And there's tons of stuff on there. Now, apparently these guys, like, they skirt the legality of it because as soon as something sort of gets licensed, they drop the series immediately. You know, they take it off their site or they say that it's not accessible or stuff like that. But it's like, really, I mean, you may have already destroyed the fan base for it anyway. I know that I've been reading a book by, let's see, Naoki Urasawa, the guy who did Monster and is doing and did 20th Century Boys. They have a book on there on Manga Fox called Happy, which is about a girl who is trying to become a tennis pro, and it's absolutely fantastic. Now, I don't know if Manga Fox scanning them and putting them up on their site, you know, they don't release them as downloadable files. I don't think you have to click between the screens. That's the thing. So does that damage the chances of Happy coming out in print form in the U.S.? Probably so, you know. I don't know, but Happy is such an old series in Japan, you know, that it's never been released here, and it's such a good book for young girls, you know, and it's something that I enjoyed reading. That you know, I mean, if Manga Fox is the only place you can get some of these things, I mean, I know that people are checking those out. So I don't know. It's kind of a fine line. I mean, I don't really support like stealing comics and that, you know, and I don't know that it is stealing because they haven't been released in the U.S. So, but anyway, it's a site to check out if you're interested in that sort of thing, mangafox.com. And I've heard other sites review comics from that, other podcasts, you know, review comics from those sites. So I don't know, but just to know that they're out there, I guess. I don't know. Because the manga comics implosion kind of is happening or has already happened, you know, several years ago. So to go out and get your manga fix, I don't know, maybe that's what they're doing. Or maybe that's what caused the manga implosion, you know, is just having all those comics online. You know, people stop buying them. So I don't know. I was going manga crazy for a while. Anyway, so that's just another site out of curiosity's sake. But I don't support piracy. No piracy. No, don't do it. Anyway, so this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. This is a subject that we'll revisit sometime soon. I wish Ian and Corey could have been here, but technical difficulties kept Ian from joining us, and Corey had a party to go to.
Corey's big time.
Anyway, thanks for joining us, and check us out next week on Part-Time Fanboy. Yay!